This episode is brought to you by VPP Simplified. Now you can get element by element tracking and guidance for your VPP journey. Every aspect of the VPP requirements in one easy to use interactive spreadsheet. Achieving VPP star status can be tough, but understanding what it takes to get there can be simplified. This VPP gap tool will help you do that. Go to vppsimplified.com for more information.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, where we help you manage workplace safety one episode at a time. And now, your very own safety pro, Blaine J. Hoffman.
Welcome to another episode of the Safety Pro Podcast. Back on the road again, recording this in the ever so familiar hotel room. So hopefully the audio turns out okay on this. This episode, I want to talk about key performance indicators, okay? It's something that we all chase. We all kind of figure out, hey, this is what matters to my organization, so these are what we're going to track. Essentially, you know, how do you measure safety in your workplace to enhance performance and reduce employee downtime? There are several tested methods that EHS leaders use to reduce employee incidents and illnesses. Among the leading methods, which our friends over at GenSuite, they published a white paper discussing this. I'll have a link to that. These are key performance indicators or KPIs or leading and lagging indicators. We'll talk about both of those, okay? We'll get into that in this episode. Before we do that, I want to stop and give a shout out to our incredible partners in safety. First off, who's on location? Whosonlocation.com. That's where you're going to go to get more information about this suite of services, actually. If you want to know who's on location, you want to know who's at any of your sites at any given time, whether they're in one building or in multiple locations across the country or around the world in real time, you want to know who's on location. It's a great way to track contractors, visitors, the kiosk, the self-signing kiosk and tablet out front where visitors come into the lobby and they self-check, select who they're visiting, that person at the organization gets a notification. That all that stuff is a part of this service. And not only that, but you also get access to an evacuation management tool as well, which I find extremely helpful. Getting away from the clipboard paper driven rosters, you can actually initiate an evacuation event via mobile or desktop anywhere in the world for a facility and watch in real time as people are checked in on the roster that they're safe. And of course, you could see visitors that are currently on site. You could see, have them sign non-disclosure agreements, safety acknowledgments as they sign in, all of that good stuff with this cloud-based solution. So, hey, if you're looking for a way to manage visitors, guests, contractors, and even evacuation management, this is what you need. You need to know who's on location. Again, go to whosonlocation.com. You'll get a 30-day free trial, no credit card required. You get access to all of the modules, all of the apps. These are web apps, by the way, so they work across all devices and platforms. But you'll get full access, and if you decide to stay with Who's on Location, everything transfers over to your account as well. Everything you've set up during the trial just continues. So give it a try, whosonlocation.com. Our next great partner in safety, the official floor marking, floor sign company of the Safety Pro Podcast is Mighty Line Floor Tape. Look, go to mightylinetape.com/podcast. Links to our partners are always in the show notes. You're going to get some great information from their website. You can even fill out the form and get a free sample. But what you're going to see is you're going to see solutions for marking up your facilities, your warehouse, your manufacturing plant, even indoor freezers. They have a specialized tape for floors, for freezer floors, even outdoors. And, they have glow tape. They have the centerline glow tape for when, the power goes out. It makes it safer for a forklift operation, for seeing the line going across the floor and maybe leading to an evacuation. All kinds of stuff. If you want to do a 5S event where you do some workplace organization and you want to mark things, where things go, you want to mark off beneath fire extinguishers, eyewash stations, all that stuff we know is important, go to mightylinetape.com/podcast and you'll find out why this is the official floor marking, floor sign company of the Safety Pro Podcast, because their floor tape, just as an example, it's 7 times thicker than the average floor tape. And it has a beveled edge, which makes it really durable for forklift traffic. And it's easy application and actually easy removal. There's very little residue left behind. So look, go check it out. Stop painting your floor. If you're thinking about painting your floor, stop. Just go to the website, mightylinetape.com/podcast. You're going to see, they have a video on their website showing the comparison between using Mighty Line tape and traditional paint. And you'll see how quick and easy it is to use the tape versus all the prep and material and work that goes behind, you know, just painting lines on a floor. So check it out again, mightylinetape.com/podcast. Get a free sample of Mighty Line tape sent right to you. Okay, so leading indicators, these are pre-incident measurements, okay? We're going to talk about leading and lagging, right? So leading indicators, pre-incident measurements that we look at, as opposed to lagging, which are measurements that are collected after an incident occurs. So let's say a slip and fall incident from stray construction materials just, you know, laying around. That's, you know, investigating that is a lagging indicator because the incident already occurred, but at an inspection that notes poor quality of the surrounding area and prevents a future slip and fall from taking place is a leading indicator. So let's say you're not doing audits, okay, of a specific area, or the audit frequency isn't that often, and you have an incident occur and turns out it's because of some housekeeping issues and you do your investigation. You know, you're now looking at a lagging indicator when you can look at, hey, we do a weekly walkthrough, but over there in that part of the building or that part of the job site, we have some demo going on. We're going to do a daily walkthrough. We're going to increase that. So you got to be able to look ahead and predict, you know, areas that will, you know, be a little more disruptive or produce hazards that aren't as likely to be present in other areas. So you want to be flexible with this stuff, but that's how you're going to get these indicators. Hey, by the way, a near miss, that's a lagging indicator. It's you're still reacting to an event that took place in the past. In this case, it just didn't lead to an injury or illness and you kind of get a freebie. But if you think about it, it's still a reactionary sort of posture and you want to move towards this sort of proactive or predictive posture. Now, by measuring leading indicators, including conditions, events, and sequences that precede and lead up to accidents, these KPIs have value in predicting the arrival of an event and can provide an opportunity to introduce control measures to stop the event from happening altogether. So that's why we want to lean towards those, right? Now, recently, many articles have stressed the importance of looking beyond the lagging indicators, but how can your organization learn from past incidents and track results? Well, by combining incident measurements and training management software, cloud-based solutions, things like that, you can, or your organization can, adopt a sort of holistic approach to reducing workplace accidents and, you know, meet Occupational Safety and Health Administration standards. So, you know, I mentioned GenSuite earlier at the beginning. They had me down in their Cincinnati offices recently for one of their podcast episodes. I use GenSuite. They're not a sponsor, not affiliated in any way, but it's a tool I use, and that's why I'm sharing it with you. Whatever you decide to use, you know, some folks do spreadsheets. Every time an incident occurs, they put it on a spreadsheet, and across the spreadsheet, they have all sorts of contributing factors, you know, housekeeping, ergo, electrical, and then you can run a Pareto and see where your trends are. Whatever you're doing, you know, is it producing the metrics that are important, that give you insight? Now, both leading and lagging indicators can be relevant to workplace safety. And of course, they're worth measuring. Don't get me wrong. They present important aspects of an overall safety management system. We have to use all the tools available that are available to us anyway, to create an environment that drives this sort of, you know, getting to zero accident state, right? That's what everyone chases, that unicorn. You know, what you want to do is you want to focus on how we get there. And that's what key performance indicators help you do. They help you focus on how to get to zero accidents, you know, because that's a big, you know, audacious goal, right? That's almost like stating the obvious, hey, we want no accidents. That's great. But do we know where our risk is of the next accident? if you ask employees, hey, if you had to bet, where in our facilities or processes would you say our next injury or illness or incident's going to come? You know, where's going to happen? And they'll tell you. You could do all kinds of stuff to get ahead of it. So the focus here with KPIs, with key performance indicators, is making sure that we're looking at what matters and it's telling us a story that we can react to before an incident occurs, that we can get ahead of. That's how you get there. What about selecting and using the right key performance indicators for your organization? Well, attempting to track complex, data analytics and results, train employees, keep your teams safe, on your own. If you're a one person or one or two person EHS team, that can be difficult. That can be extremely difficult, especially if you're using spreadsheets and things like that. It's all manual data entry. It's hard. It's really hard. So leading and lagging indicators, they can help reduce and prevent incidents. One way EHS leaders begin using KPIs is by selecting the appropriate sets for the organization. So examples of lagging indicators, OSHA recordable injuries, OSHA citations, total case incident rate, your DART case, days away, restricted or transferred, your fatality rate. Hopefully that's, you don't have to look at that. Your workers' comp claims and costs. That's another lagging indicator. And your EMR, your experience modification rate. So those are all quick examples of the classic lagging indicators that every business leader wants to know about. Hey, how many recordables have we had this year compared to last? And, how is that helpful? Explain why tracking that is helpful and just tracking that alone. So let's get to examples of leading indicators. Near misses, again, not a big fan. I still say that's a lagging indicator. It's still responding to something that already happened, right? It's just there was no consequence. So you might want to consider that a lagging indicator just to drive the point home. But what about behavioral observations or job observations, training records, training that's past due, training that didn't get done? What about safety meetings that are happening? What's the quality of those safety meetings? How often are they having safety meetings in each department or team? Employee perception surveys. What's our employees' perception of safety culture in our workplace, and how can we respond to that and fix that? Because we know their perception of what is safe and not safe. That can drive behavior on the job, whether they choose to, cut corners or take shortcuts. What's driving sort of that mindset, if you will? What about trainee scores, like post-training quizzes? How do we measure effectiveness of our training? That's a good leading indicator. And preventative maintenance programs. What percent of PMs are overdue, past due? Are we behind on? And, because we know the longer we don't address PM, preventative maintenance schedules on equipment and machines will have a failure, a breakdown, shutdown, things like that. So tracking the percent of PMs that are overdue and having sort of a line like we don't want to go over 5%, because we know once we get into 10, 15% of our PMs being overdue, we're never going to catch up because of the size of our maintenance team, and we're going to have guards missing, we're going to have damaged cords. So we're going to be working with those risks, and we know keeping it below 5% is manageable, and we're addressing safety issues. So a good leading indicator set right there, just to give you an idea. Now, when trying to pinpoint the indicator type, that's essential for your organization. You understand that both of them are key, okay? Leading indicators, they're like the car windshield. Lagging indicators, it's like the rearview mirror. So just think of it that way. You'll certainly spend more time looking out the windshield to see what's coming with the leading indicators than you will be looking in the rearview mirror to see where you've been. But it's still important to have that rear-looking view. So look at your company and see how you can start moving forward toward a culture of safety rather than looking behind. Now, within the leading and lagging indicator types, there are 8 important characteristics that your key performance indicator should have. Now, ensure that you follow these when selecting the ones that are important for your workplace. Just remember these 8, okay? 1, got to be actionable, right? Metrics have measurable steps. It has to be actionable. 2, has to be achievable, setting goals that are obtainable. 3, they have to be meaningful, obtaining information for continued tracking. So they have to be meaningful. 4, transparent. They have to be clearly understandable. If you start getting into some weird business accounting jargon, you're going to lose people. So just make sure it's transparent. It's clearly understandable. And five, easy to communicate effectively. It's got to be easy to communicate to the organization. Six, it's got to be valid, relevant to the organization's objectives. Seven, has to be useful. Metrics that are beneficial to the organization's safety goals. It's got to be useful. But you can't, just because you can count something doesn't mean it should be counted. You have to ask, you know, how is it useful to the organization? And eight, timely. Distributing information that is still relevant to the organization has to be done in a timely manner. Just keep that in mind. Actionable, achievable, meaningful, transparent, easy, valid, useful, timely. It's sort of an expanded version of the SMART goals and objectives approach, but we're talking about metrics. So we have some other items in here. So we have eight of them. Now, once you select your set of indicators and follow the necessary characteristics, it's important to track how well they are working and be flexible if that set needs to be revised for consistent improvement. So, you know, these aren't cast in stone. You know, once you mature and you've got something under control, it's no longer, you know, something you want to be tracking because your processes are controlling it, then you can move to making sure you audit your processes to make sure that they're still in control and not so much the leading indicators that prompted the process to be put in place, if that makes sense. So you will mature, your organization will mature, so should your leading indicators, okay? Now, each year brings about new, you know, focus on certain regulations and, you know, carries over existing regulations that companies must abide by. So it's important to stay on top of the ever-evolving regulatory trends so you don't risk non-compliance or get on the radar with some of these national emphasis programs and contributing to those numbers, right? So use leading and lagging indicators system to help with following key OSHA regulations and safety trends. So you're going to want to know what the trends are in your industry, okay? So keep in mind that that's important too. Sometimes what OSHA will focus on will be driven by your industry or your peers in the industry. So if you're involved in an industry organization or association where some peer companies are also involved, you get involved with those and go to the safety meetings that they have, offer to present at some of their safety meetings some best practices, because when the industry as a whole starts improving these trends, right, then, you know, OSHA doesn't, you know, focus on that industry. You get better comp rates and insurance premiums because that industry and that classification, you know, seems to perform better. So just keep that in mind. That's another, good use of or explanation as to why leading and lagging indicators are important to you. Now, OSHA, it's probably important to kind of do a quick overview on OSHA's, you know, approach to improving, you know, tracking workplace injuries and illnesses. So, you know, there is gone back and forth with the electronic reporting, you know, what gets reported, what doesn't get reported, whether we're going to rescind the whole electronic submittal altogether. Look, it's clear that, you know, as the political winds change, so do the OSHA, you know, trends on some of these things. So it doesn't matter what OSHA wants today or say what they say they don't want tomorrow. What's consistent is the change. Now, we know the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports more than 3 million workers suffer from a workplace injury or illness each year. Currently, there's little or no information about worker injuries and illnesses made public or available to OSHA. So with their new rule, employers are required to submit a record of the injuries and illnesses to OSHA to help them in identifying hazards and fixing problems. They're looking for trends, right? Which areas of industry should we be focusing our regulatory compliance efforts? At the time this white paper was written, I'm going to quote this white paper here real quick, but we know that there are changes coming. And at the time of this recording, you know, by the time you're hearing this, or as you hear this going forward, this may not be the case. You know, one, establishments with 250 or more employees must electronically submit injury illness information from OSHA forms 300, 300A, and 301. That's 300 and 301 starting in 2018, by the way. And two, establishments with 20 to 249 employees in high-risk industries must submit information from OSHA form 300A. So, you know, if we start to kind of, you know, wet the finger and stick it in the wind here and see which way it's, you know, OSHA is going to fall, land on this, it doesn't really matter. We know they're talking about it. We know that they want more timely and accurate reporting of injuries and illnesses. We know technology is advancing. We know that they're going, to move to an online sort of database and submittal system eventually. It's going to happen. So it's important for us in the industry. Why don't we just get ahead of it? Just start tracking key performance indicators and start doing this for ourselves. You know, where are we having problems in our industry or in our facilities, in our organizations, and how can we best tackle those to prevent those from becoming a problem? Let's not let OSHA do our job for us. Okay. So some trends, let's go over some trends. Trend number one, dealing with workplace stress. The National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, they emphasize that work-related stress disorders are expected to rise as the economy continues to undergo various shifts and impacts. Therefore, companies should take steps to ensure that any current programs are robust enough to reduce the concerns associated with the stress in the workplace, as well as implement any new programs that show an increased effectiveness at reducing the generation of stress. So one, what causes stress in a workplace? And how does that manifest itself into some sort of injury, illness, time off, things like that? So you're going to partner with your HR and benefits folks. You know, what kind of, you know, EAP program do we have? Do we have enough breaks built into the day? Are we doing some employee wellness stuff? You get into some things that aren't like required by OSHA, but we know doing those things reduces stress in the workplace, which we know reduces injuries and illnesses, okay, related to dealing with stress in the workplace. So that's a trend. That's an emerging trend that we're seeing in the industry. So you can develop key performance indicators around measuring, you know, dealing with workplace stress. Here's another trend, just leveraging risk management. 2017 saw a continued trend in developing internal risk management programs and systems. And 2018, going into 2019, that looks to be the year where many of these programs are leveraged for results across, you know, the spectrum of your company. So in other words, sufficient time has occurred for the internal development of risk management data and effectiveness. This can now be translated directly into specific areas of the business to further reduce inherent risk development within the company. So if you started something in 2017, going into 2019, you should have a pretty good idea from leveraging your risk management programs. You should have a pretty good idea. So if you start now, and let's say this is 2018, if you start now going into 2019, you should have sufficient data to leverage. So start developing key performance indicators now, the sooner the better, because as more time goes by, the more data you have, the clearer the picture becomes. Does that make sense? So, you know, that's a trend number two, leveraging risk management. Trend number three. So a new trend becoming prominent in 2018 is an increased reliance on these predictive analytics. Many companies have been developing risk management and mitigation data and using analytics to help derive sense from, you know, this big data of information, this big data dump, because it's almost too much. You can track all kinds of stuff. You can track average age of worker, average time on a job, which shift, which supervisor, you know, how far along they are in the training program. You got so many data points. What do you do with all of that? So 2019 looks to be the year where many of these are put into practice, you know, company-wide. So in addition, the trend of emphasizing the use of these predictive analytics is expected to rise as much of this information is refined even further. So if we can refine this data into even more buckets, you're going to need to rely more on predictive analytics and maybe artificial intelligence, sort of AI, you know, things like that. Software is what I'm getting at. You're going to need some sort of digital solution for this. I'm already set up for this. I use GenSuite. So GenSuite does all this for me. And trend number four, more regulatory changes. There are a few that doubt that more regulatory and legislative changes are expected in 2018, going into 2019. So, you know, many differences continue to grow between either national policy and those that are enacted on the state level and local level. But you know, very few of us can predict what specific changes will actually take place. However, what is an almost certainty is that for companies, flexibility will be necessary in order to adapt to new policies that are coming down the road. So the more insight you have into your organization with this data, this big data, getting all sorts of data in and having an effective tool or means to analyze that data and tell you where you need to focus your safety and health efforts, your risk management efforts, things like that, you're going to be in a much better position to weather the regulatory changes that do come. So what about models and methods for using leading and lagging indicators, right? So various proven yet antiquated and manual methods that I mentioned before, spreadsheets. So a method for modeling KPIs, enabling validation of their properties is a report that was published. I'll put a link in the show notes. The authors covered two techniques workplaces use to track KPIs. The first model integrates the following attributes for tracking performance: indicator name, type, scale, source, owner, and threshold. Though it's not easy to find all of this information, so EHS experts often rely on documentation, expert knowledge, and previous conceptual models. The second model that's used for KPI formalization is known as performance indicator expression. It is a mathematical statement over a performance indicator evaluated to a numerical qualitative. Oy, that's a mouthful. All right, so in other words, a given value for a time point for the organization, unit, or agent. Now, the authors suggest that, you know, specifying the required values of performance indicators as constraints coming from goals. So keep that in mind. The relations between performance indicators are modeled using predicates. So there's a third model used by EHS professionals and safety teams known as, you know, the Heinrich triangle or pyramid. That's sort of a traditional way of tracking occupational injuries, illnesses. Now, that's known as the safety triangle because of the shape it takes, the graph you can create from it. And I'll get to that in a second. But it basically, it quantifies the number of reported workplace incidents into four main categories: major injuries, severe accidents, first aid cases, and near misses. Employee concern reports, like in safety observations, at-risk observations, they can also be added to the base of this triangle down where the near misses are to incorporate leading indicators into this analysis, okay? So let me tell you the math around it. This is a 1, 10, 30, 600 model, okay? For every one incident reported in the major injury category, severe accidents are 10 times as likely to happen. Also, for every one major injury, approximately 30 first aid cases and 600 near misses. So there is a mathematical formula to follow. If you're seeing, you know, you have a major case and you only have like 10 near misses, there's something wrong. We're not driving a culture of reporting these things, or we're not seeing them or tracking them properly. So when companies plug, you know, their own incidents into this model or pyramid, you can see if you have the corresponding ratio that I just explained to you. If you have a significant amount of major and severe incidents, you know, going on. So the premise for this model is that more companies focus on reducing the numbers at the bottom of the pyramid. The more you do that, the more likely you are to reduce the major safety incidents at the top of the pyramid, because the root causes of all of them are typically the same. So if you're after stopping that one major incident from happening, you have to stop all of them from happening, because you don't know which one is going to end up being a near miss, a minor, or a severe. You don't know. It's usually a matter of luck. Everything leading up to it is the same. An employee almost getting struck by a forklift, stepping out into a blind spot of an aisle, and somebody actually getting struck. What's the difference between the two? It's usually luck. So if you want to stop the major one, you have to stop all of them, you know, the near misses and the minor ones as well. So that's why, you know, people, EHS professionals really like that formula, because it gives you a place to start, and you start at the base of the pyramid. It's inclusive of many types of injuries and incidents, but it doesn't assist EHS professionals with narrowing down the data to the critical cases or incidents, you know, root causes and solutions. And here's an example. A site could have a series of cases that stem from ergonomic-related issues and spend significant amounts of time on root cause and trend analysis instead of the cases or accidents that have a high potential to result in an employee fatality or significant property damage. So you could be ignoring something, right? And critics of the Heinrich Triangle, they also claim that adhering to it can lead to an overemphasis on worker behavior and not enough attention on health and safety management, you know, systems. You know, no matter what the flaws are, there's always a solution to the system. So I found it useful. I know some of the critics, what they have said about the Heinrich Triangle or Pyramid, but I just don't see it. It is useful. If you use it in combination with some other risk management tools and things, that it can be very beneficial, right? I mean, these methods are used to benefit companies' safety success rates and performance objectives all the time. So the methods can also be adapted to any enterprise modeling approach, and companies can apply these measures of thinking into a conventional and modernized process by integrating EHS management software into their workplace that I'm going to talk about here in a second to help, you know, visualize, capture, and then visualize in graphical format and making it easier to understand, which is what I'll talk about. So to simplify and digitize these three models and methods, companies turn to compliance and management software systems. I use GenSuite, but there are others out there. So these systems, they enhance workplace safety performance by simplifying the tracking of leading and lagging indicators. So using software that's tailored to measure KPIs, that's what you want to utilize. Just a few, you know, features that you should be looking for, okay? Framework for managing regulatory and program-specific training requirements. Validate training effectiveness through course-specific e-quizzes. Incident investigation, root cause analysis, corrective and preventive action tracking system. It should integrate with occupational health, medical, computer systems for case tracking and program visibility. Those are some of the features you want to look for that will help you manage these things as data coming in. So, and why this is important? I mean, you know, why should your business invest in something like this or look at something like this? I mean, other than avoiding just everyday safety violations and recurring workplace injuries, it's going to help you meet not just the current, but upcoming OSHA regulations and trends and changes in the industry. So I want to share with you what I do, what I use. So here's what I use GenSuite for, and whatever program you use, you can look for the same type of features, but you know, incidents and measurements. There's an application that I use that helps me address the record keeping, the new electronic record keeping regulations. It enables one-click generation of the site or business OSHA 300, 300A, and 301 forms. In addition, my provider joins ongoing discussions with us and industry groups to help meet OSHA with OSHA and talk through the options for direct system integrations moving forward. So they actually advocate for us. Hey, look, if OSHA's going to an online, you know, sort of data submission form, companies like GenSuite, you know, they're talking with OSHA and helping develop their software program to help meet those needs. So they're kind of taking care of that for me. But some other benefits I get out of the incidents and measurements application that I use, I track hours worked and site recordable rates, monitor site performance on a monthly or quarterly basis through some auto-generated site metric reports. I have instant system-generated email notifications upon entry or modification of incidents. So, you know, site leadership stays up to date. That's key. As soon as somebody enters an injury, based on the department shift and everything like that, you can set up automatic notifications, emails going out to people that need to see this, that an injury occurred. And also training compliance is a big one, right? So, you know, training compliance can help address both OSHA regulations and keep your employees up to date with mandatory training. In addition, training employees prevents new and future injuries from occurring. I mean, it's a fact. So you don't have to evaluate, you know, progress based on how many employees have been severely injured and how that number has improved. Prevent them from happening in the first place, and you can do that with just effective training in large part. It doesn't cover everything, but it is a huge part of your safety program is your safety training. So, you know, I can establish a framework for managing regulatory and program-specific training requirements. I can alert training leaders of new and transferred employees that have training needs assessment that has to take place. I can integrate automatic updates from the HR systems whenever new hires are entered in. Boom, it triggers a need for training on a calendar. It creates a calendar event. I can engage employees in classroom and e-learning training. So we have an online university that we use. So I can actually track training completion with my software, with GenSuite, even using another e-learning management system. I can validate training effectiveness through course-specific e-quizzes. I can log completions. I can use barcoding so people can check in with the barcode to, on a laptop and then scan it, and the training session pops up and it populates with their information when they check in. Mobile and batch upload of attendees. Identify qualified employees based on task, that they perform. So here's a good one. Whenever somebody gets assigned a certain job code or classification, that should trigger, some training. So if you have an employee that's working as a material handler, and then they're going to go, they got transferred into sort of a chemical process that requires some acids and caustics training, chemical hygiene, PPE that they didn't get before. Whenever you go into the HR system and change that job classification or something, it can trigger this automatically that they have to have this training. So look, there's all kinds of stuff you can do to help automate our management of these systems. Software solutions are out there for us to do that. And that's what I'm getting at is, it doesn't matter what you choose. Just choose something that works, that fits, easy to manage, and isn't cumbersome. If you're still logging everything manually and you're spending all this seat time trying to open a spreadsheet, and once a month when you have your meeting, you've got to spend half the day pulling all this together. I can create a dashboard, that shows a company snapshot. I can see how many environmental notice of violations we've had, how many wastewater incidents, our total case incident rate, DART rate, how many recordables we had this quarter. It's all right there in a dashboard. So, people come to the meeting, they already know this because it's real time. They just click the link at any time, day or night, and it's in real time, current state of where we're at. I've even got the little, persona, they call it. It's a silhouette of a person, and it shows, the head, the face, the arms, the legs, the torso, back, and it's got a little number next to it that says, you've had, 7 injuries, 4 of them are the hand and 2 of them are the leg. And so that it gives us data in real time. That's the other benefit, is we don't spend a whole lot of time pulling stuff together. It's already in there. Okay. And you can create this dashboard to show you these things that are important for us to understand. And you can just throw that up there and say, hey, look, this is where we're at. Do our current efforts and focus address what we're seeing? Are we trending in the right direction? Yes or no? Let's have that discussion. So you don't have to actually prep people for that discussion. You don't have to go throw that up there and say, this quarter we had X number. You should already know how many recordables you had this quarter. You should have been talking about them as they occurred in shift change meetings, daily meetings, weekly meetings. So when you have your monthly staff meeting or your EHS review, the focus should be on how are we focusing on the right things, yes or no. That's what I wanted to talk about with these key performance indicators. It should be driving the right actions. So yeah, we have to track what matters, but you have to know what matters first, right? You have to define that. So hey, look, check out this white paper GenSuite has on key performance indicators and how to select them, how to build them. Check out the link in the show notes. It'll be useful to you. I think that, it's been useful to me. And I think that whatever you do going forward, certainly look at some sort of digital solution to help you manage all this data. Because, you want data, you want it in there, but you certainly want data that matters to you. You don't want to be counting things for the sake of counting them. You want to let sort of these software, these solutions sort of surface this stuff for you by selecting some options in the software configuration. It's much easier to do it that way. So, hey, it's worked for me. I've been doing it for years, and it's great. Business leaders love it. It's fantastic. So go ahead and check that stuff out, and let me know what you think. Share with me what you use, what you do, and key performance indicators that you've identified that are important to your business. I'd be more than happy to share that with the rest of the listeners. Send emails, info@thesafetypropodcast.com. And you can also visit and leave a message at thesafetypropodcast.com. Don't forget, show some love to our great partners in safety, whosonlocation.com and Mighty Line Tape. Go to mightylinetape.com/podcast to get some information about those partners in safety. They help make this happen. So, you know, give a shout out to those folks as well. And hey, until the next Safety Pro podcast episode, maybe I won't be on a road for the next one, but we'll see. Please be safe.